In the introduction to Offensive Conduct, John Hanna's autobiography, his former teammate and fellow Hall of Famer Andre Tippett refers to Hanna as the best offensive lineman of all time. In the book itself, which is subtitled My Life on the Line, Hanna, a Hall of Famer who played for the Patriots from 1973 to 1985, says he was an imposter. John Hanna joins me in the studio. Welcome to Only a Game.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Bill.
Let's get right to your contention that throughout your career with the New England Patriots, you were, as you write, an imposter, because football fans who read that are going to say, gee, he did a pretty good impression of a really good offensive lineman.
I think the imposter was not the fact that I was a football player, but the reason I was an imposter was because I was playing for the wrong reasons. When I was in the 9 years old and in the fourth grade, a lot of friends were making fun of me for being fat. I had a group of teammates that serenaded me with the song Fatty Fatty 2x4 Can't Get Through the Kitchen Door, you know, in front of everybody. So my dad created an opportunity for me to play junior high football when I was in the 9 years old. Mm. So my whole life and the whole reason for playing football was basically being respected and accepted by others. And so it was the reason behind playing football, not the playing of the game.
And obviously, as a 9 year old, you were big and determined enough to play up.
Well, I was big and determined, but I was fat too. I mean, there's no lie about that. I'm fat today, but not like I was then. When people played basketball, I was the basketball.
You write that though football fans might have seen you as fulfilling the American dream, again, I'm quoting, most of my life and my pro career were more of a living nightmare. How so?
Because the whole time I played, I was so stressed. Every day I felt like I had to prove myself. I had to be the best. And if I wasn't the best, then nobody would care about me and nobody would, you know, accept me as a person.
Were people around you, your teammates and other people, aware of that?
Oh, absolutely not. I kept that concealed. That was my little secret.
You express ambivalence in the book toward former Alabama head football coach Bear Bryant, for whom you played back in the early 70s. Describe for me your relationship with him.
Coach Bryant led through fear. That was his MO. And I never could get close to him, and I don't think I wanted to because I was just so scared of him.
Once you made it to the pros, which, incidentally, Coach Bryant said you would never do, it sounds as if the New England Patriots misled, shortchanged, and lied to you throughout your NFL career. Explain what happened.
There are a lot of things that they did that I felt weren't as forthcoming as it should have been. And part of it was them. Part of it was me and my attitude. You know, part of it was, if I'm not getting paid the most, then I'm not being treated as the best. And if I'm going to be the best, and if I am the best, you need to treat me like I am. So that gets back to that whole false face, imposter face that we were talking about before. Yeah, there were some things that they did wrong, but my reaction to it was just as wrong and just as bad.
It's interesting to me that looking back, you write about what you call the occasional misbehavior of pro players when you were active, and you contrast it with some of today's NFL players whom you characterize, again, I'm quoting, as outright thugs and criminals. What's led you to see today's NFL in those terms?
Well, when you see people that are playing the game that have committed murder or rape, those are criminal elements. Some of the things the guys did in our day was mischievous, you know, going out and maybe getting in a scuffle at the local bar and grill or, you know, all those kind of things. But it wasn't where you were a thief or a rapist or a murderer. And that's, in my definition, of what a thug is.
I'm speaking with Hall of Fame NFL lineman John Hanna, and you're listening to Only a Game. Despite the view of your career expressed in the book, can you extract for us a fond memory or three of playing days?
Oh, I've got a lot of great memories, and I'd play it all again. I just do it with a different motivating factor. My most fun times was from like 1976 to really the early 80s, late 70s with Fairbanks and Earhart. I was in the prime of my career. I was surrounded by great players, and having Steve Nelson and Steve Grogan and Leon Gray and Sam Cunningham and all those guys on that same team, you know, there was just a camaraderie there that was fun. We were winning, it was just enjoyable just to be in the locker room and laughing and giggling with other people and just having a good time.
The closing chapters of Offensive Conduct are about what you began discovering about yourself in the decades after you retired
right.
from the NFL. Tell me a little bit about those discoveries.
You know, when I was basically, you know, 9 or 10 years old, the first part of my life, my thoughts on my faith in God was more like an insurance policy where, you know, I've got it in my back pocket, and if anything goes wrong, I'm not going to go to hell.
I can always call on them if I need it.
Right, fire insurance, right? So the second part, I call that the prepaid credit card era. What that is if I do good enough, if I'm obedient enough, if I'm pleasing enough, then I'll build up some credits, and so he'll come back and he'll give me what I want. And I found out that that didn't work. So the final aspect of it was realizing that he is king, and, you know, he had to break me of all this self-confidence that I built in myself and trusted in myself, to where I'd finally come to a point of trusting in him and devoting myself to him and what God wants me to do rather than what I want to do. That was the hard part. And there's a lot of people that say, I believe in Jesus, but very few people that actually say he's the Lord of my life. And not that I do it all the time. You know, I fail a lot of times. You know, ask anybody, they'll tell you. But what I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. And that's where I'm trying to go.
John Hanna is the author of Offensive Conduct, My Life on the Line. John, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
To learn more about John Hanna's new autobiography, please visit onlyagame.org. It won't be offensive, I promise. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.
The Antarctic charity race currently underway stopped being a competition earlier this week when the three teams involved decided to work together in the attempt to reach the South Pole. The teams from Great Britain, the Commonwealth, and the U.S. include service members who've been wounded in action. The team from Great Britain also includes Prince Harry. Having encountered, quote, a higher degree of stress than anticipated, everybody decided it would be fine to merely reach the South Pole rather than reach it first. That sounds sensible to me, and when the next war breaks out, I'll suggest the strategy to the combatants involved, just in case the conflict presents them with a higher degree of stress than they'd anticipated.